Simeon, will you come and boast in your Savior?
Absolutely. All right, let's get it. All right, first of all, I just want to say that I definitely did not grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a broken home, actually. My parents divorced when I was at a young age. And so there was like a combination of me just being a wicked, sinful heathen and me being in a godless environment. And through like 15 years, I kind of developed a desire for my own sin. I loved my sin and I loved myself. And like I understood, like after I came to faith in Christ, that the wages of sin is death. So I would have deserved God's infinite anger and his furious wrath poured out on my life if I were to die in that state of being. And that would have been totally just. That would have been justice served for me to get smashed in hell by God himself for all of eternity. But God, being rich in mercy, with his unconditional love and his amazing grace, sovereignly sent his one and only Son as a substitute sacrifice for my sins. And so through regeneration, God granted me faith and repentance to believe in the finished work of the cross. Now, I truly believe that I was saved in a previous ministry. I believe that, you know, Christ died on the cross for my sins. And I understood that I needed to repent and believe. I understood that salvation was obtained by faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. But without a steady diet of that, which is the gospel, I found myself again in a state of disobedience and rebelliousness. And that's why I praise God so much for the body of Christ. And in his sovereignty, I really don't want to drop any names, but in his sovereignty, God used Dre Harris to call me to repentance. Amen. And so he allowed me to live with him for a few years. I mean, for a few months, along with Josh and Omri Miles. And they kind of showed me what it was to be like a real Christian. And it was just like, I was like, wow, this is what genuine Christianity is. And it wasn't until I came to Grace Bible where I understood the importance of the gospel. I understood how to, you know what I'm saying, how to shepherd my heart with the gospel. I learned how to renew my mind daily with gospel and grace realities. I learned how to apply the gospel to my sin. And with all that taking place in my life, you know, sanctification is like producing fruit. So that's pretty much it. And I just look forward to growing in God's grace with all of you. Amen.
D.D. Jennings. I'm on two microphones. There we go. D.D. Jennings, will you come boast in your Savior? Tell us what God has done for you.
Hello. Up until the past 2 years or so, I thought that I was doing everything that was needed in order to make it into heaven. I was raised by good parents, and I was taught to be a good person. I was taught to go to church. I followed all the traditions and rituals that my parents in the church taught me. And I did all of this because it was expected of me and because that's what other good people did. And heaven forbid, what would people think of me if they didn't think that I was good? I didn't want to be anything less than good. I got married at a young age, right out of high school, had a baby right away. After a few years, it became very apparent to me that I was very dissatisfied with my life. So I started over as a single mother, but I got a good job, and I got a good babysitter to take care of my daughter while I was out working hard and playing hard. So in my estimation, I was still a good person, and I was still following the rules. But I still continued to make the same mistakes over and over again. And as my daughter grew up, I watched her make the same mistakes that I had made in my life. And our relationship suffered very horribly because of it. About 8 years ago, I started noticing a dramatic change in my daughter's life. At that time, I didn't know what had happened. I didn't understand what had happened because she told me she had been saved. I saw the Lord working in her and in her family, my son-in-law and my wonderful grandchildren. And then they started working on Grandma. They asked me to come to church with them, and I went occasionally because I wanted to keep peace in the family. But I kept believing that all through this that I was still a good person and that I needed everything I needed. It wasn't until I started going with them regularly that the Lord started to open my eyes. Then my daughter and her family moved away, and I was devastated. But the Lord continued to open my eyes, and He showed me that a good church and a wonderful church family filled with love is something that I desperately needed in my life. I realized that I was born a sinner, and that the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ, and that He died on the cross for me in my place, and He took my sins away so that I could live and become part of the church family. My life has so totally changed now, it's hard to describe. But I know that the only thing that I can do at this point in my life is to accept His love and grace every day, which I don't deserve. And to honor Him and glorify Him in everything that I do and say. I know that I will always struggle with sin, but He's there for me to help me and to help me make decisions that will put Him first in my life. The past year of being here at Grace Bible Church has been amazing. And I know that with God's grace and with my continued repentance, I look forward to the day that I can go home to be with Him.
Ashley DeGarda, tell us what God has done in your life.
Okay. I just want to emphasize that this is my experience with the Lord. Everyone has a different walk with Him. Amen for that. My childhood was full of pain and loss, especially regarding my experience with nearly all of my fathers. I want to emphasize the word nearly. I learned that fathers will let you down and they cannot live up to expectations. And selfish desires would conflict with the apropos way of living sometimes. So I attest my initial hearing of Christ to a crucial reason why I'm alive and well. God's grace brought the news to me when I first needed it. I understand that I hadn't transformed my life, but if I hadn't learned of my eternal Father back then, I would have had no hope at all. I had a distorted view of Christ and the cross while growing up into my early adulthood. I believe that people can lose their salvation and that at any point they could walk away from the Lord. My beliefs dictated what I thought and what was my walk with the Lord. I could conveniently choose to be good or bad. I oftentimes referred to myself as bad or good Ashley, and I could just conveniently do whatever I wanted to do, whatever I desired to do it. And that's not how the Bible calls us to live. So I used Revelation 3:15 and 16 as an excuse to promote this kind of behavior, as if Scripture condones a lifestyle of sin. I'm going to read that to you from the ESV version. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would you that you were either cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm, and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I just shared that with you too, so you could get the full picture. I walked away, and I came back to the Lord in my early 20s. My grandmother had passed away in 2004, and I coped with her death by clinging to the idea of love. I thought if someone, quote unquote, loved me, that all would be right in the world. And I had heard the truth that only Christ is true love and only He ultimately satisfies. But I wanted what was easy. I had decided to settle for a cheap love, and I had a 6-year relationship completely devoid of the Lord because I simply didn't know Him. I focused on living lawlessly. In essence, I did whatever I felt like, no matter the circumstance. I had no hope, no future, and no vision. I wanted a transformation to transpire in my life, but I forgot how to be, how to effectually live, and I thought that I knew how to come bare before the Lord with my all to make him king over my everything. The problem remained. I simply didn't know how. I had a desire to change, but my intentions were still focused on the self. I thought I knew what was best for my life, and I would make my life improved. I would move to Tempe, and I would attend ASU. I would decide to leave my fiance, and the answer was to find a new boyfriend right away. While staying with a friend, I was robbed. I was moving around nomadically, and it was a very traumatic experience. Shortly after, I came to stay with the Hoopers. I reconnected with their family. I came to their home for about a week, and they helped me adjust to my new life in Tempe. Russ showed me around town and took me to the ASU main campus, and he and Ashley welcomed me into their home. I reforged a relationship with them through God's grace, and they were able to help me through that whole week. Sunday rolled by, and it was the time for me to decide on whether or not I would attend church for the first time in 6 years. I went, by God's grace. The day was Sunday, 8/23/2009, and I heard Scott Maxwell preach on Ephesians 2, 1 through 4. I will now read that to you from the NASB version. And you were once dead in your trespasses and sins, and you in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we all too formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. It was a radical identity exchange, and my one true repent and believe event. I learned the only true gospel from the Bible at Grace Bible Church in recent times, and it is what transformed my life. I believe the gospel is preached from a Calvinistic approach to be true and not like anything resembling the false doctrine I've heard for most of my life. My small group leader, Cameron Dodd, she recommended that I listen to the Romans 6 series done here at Grace Bible Church. And I listened to it, and it taught me what true grace is, what legalism and what lawlessness looks like, and how I had lived in a cycle of legalism and lawlessness most of my life. Romans 6 is what has allowed me to share the gospel with everyone I know, and now to feel the true weight of what the responsibility is to share the one true gospel with God's people. When I'm not reading my Bible, my life reflects the old man and not the new creation I am in Christ. Grace Bible Church preaches the importance of rehearsing gospel truths to yourself. The Bible does too. The importance of rehearsing gospel truths to yourself and living out the word of God. It's easy to believe that we are sinful creatures enslaved to our sin, even when reading the word. But Ephesians 2 and Romans 6 dictates the opposite. God calls us into his family, and those who hear him come before him, humbly knowing he did the changing work in our lives. And apart from him, we are nothing. He gave me a new heart with new desires and his Holy Spirit to dwell within me so that I can live a life fully pleasing to the Lord. Romans 6 tells us we are not slaves, that we are now slaves to obedience and not to our sin. I thank God every day for the glorious work he is doing in my life. I find it hard to believe that God would save a sinner like me. God has shown himself to be the loving and unconditional father I longed for as a child. I continue to be challenged by my Heavenly Father's characteristics, his love and his will, to grow in these things and to take my cross and follow him. The story of the cross and Christ's love is all I want people to recount of in thinking of my life. Thank you.
Alex Roberts, come and tell us what your Savior has done for you, brother.
God's been at work in my life before I was ever conscious of it. He's brought me through times that have helped me grow in my faith. And by His grace, my faith continues to become more vivid and more alive. God has moved people into my life and at just the right time, even though I didn't know it at the time. I'm not exactly sure when I became a Christian. However, I can look at specific events and people as the markers in my life that now show me how God has been working all along. In about 2001, my wife, Erica, was going to church with our kids, and I felt like I should go and be with her. When I went, I was challenged by what I heard. I had never heard the gospel explained before, and it was difficult to reconcile until I started seeing what my condition really was. I was a sinner who was turning his back on God, and God, in His infinite grace, patience, and mercy, decided to ransom me with His Son, Jesus. He paid a price that I could not pay, and giving me His sinless righteousness so that I may someday stand before God as Jesus intercedes for me. I had always thought I was an all right guy and that I wasn't hurting anyone with the way I was living. But the more I learned about God, the clearer the picture became. God brought people into my life that challenged the way I viewed Christians. He brought a mentor into my life that totally broke the mold. George Siegel spent a lot of early Saturday mornings with me, helping me get a firm hold on what being a Christian was and how that applied to my roles as a husband and a father. My conversion was like being outside in the cold and coming into a warm house. The warm feeling slowly envelops your whole body. Conversion in my life didn't seem like one big moment, just a whole lot of little things that God's worked in my life and continues to work today.
And Cameron Dodd, would you come and tell us about your Savior?
I grew up in church in a believing household. And when I was very young, I said a prayer and I was baptized. I didn't understand the gospel at that time. And while I didn't want to go to hell, there was no love for God in my heart. There was no desire to obey His commandments. And there was no genuine repentance and turning from my sin. The old things in my heart just never passed away. And as I grew up, that unchanged heart, that hard and rebellious heart, began to manifest itself more openly, especially as I got to high school and college. I began living an openly rebellious and godless life, partying while still deceiving myself into thinking that I was a believer. I drank and I smoked and I cursed and I told everyone that I was a believer, and I believed it. But I wasn't. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:8 that I was darkness. And let me tell you, I was darkness inside. And John chapter 3 says that I loved darkness because my deeds were evil. And I loved darkness because my deeds were evil. And as miserable as I was in my sin, I had no intention of changing my life because I loved darkness. Romans 6 says that I was a slave to my sin. And let me tell you, I was enslaved to so much sin. And whether I knew it or not, I wasn't just falling short of some target of God, but I was turned around in the opposite direction, running straight into the gates of hell. I hated the light, and I hated God even while thinking that I didn't. I deserved nothing from God but wrath and an eternity spent in hell without Him, and that's who I was. But there is a but, and because there is good news, because I'm standing here, and that's evidence of it, because 2,000 years before I was born, God placed all that wrath that I deserved, all that wrath that my sin deserved, He placed all of that on His Son at the cross. And Jesus willingly and joyfully endured the punishment that I deserved for my sin so that He could bring me to God. I was in a line running into hell, and God plucked me out of that line and brought me to Himself, not because of anything good in me, not because of anything that made me different from anyone else, but just because He loved me. And that's it. And the hope there is that that won't ever change, no matter what I do. And I have a Savior, and it's God, and He saved me. It's not like I got saved in some passive tense, but God saved me. And He used people to do it. And the first person that He used to do it was a man named Matt Dodd. The lifestyle that I was living came to this point where there was this week in July of 2004 where I was completely at the end of myself. I was physically sick, and I was emotionally exhausted and sick of my life, but I had no intention of changing my life. A friend invited me to a poker tournament at his house and introduced me to a man named Matt Dodd, who would later become my husband. And I was not interested at first. But then, before the foundation of the world, God gave Matt a sense of humor. And he started talking, and I'm sticking to the script. He gave Matt a sense of humor, and I was convinced within minutes that he was funnier than I was. And I never met anyone funnier than me. And so I wanted to be around him. And the first night that we hung out, I remember hanging out with him and hearing his testimony. He didn't grow up in a believing household, and I never met anyone like that that was pursuing the Lord without growing up in a believing household. And I remember praying and asking God, God, if you would just please give me a second chance to live my life the way that I know I should be living it, and let me marry this guy, that would be so great. And in my sinful, rebellious state, God heard my prayer, and he answered it. And that Sunday, I went to church, and God used another servant of his, Tom Ingstead, who was just doing his job, and he was just leading communion, as he had done probably multiple times in the past. And I was sitting there, and Tom said something to the effect that Jesus bore the wrath that we deserved. And I'm sure that I had probably heard something like that before in my life, but God completely broke my heart, and he enabled me to see the depths of my sin. I mean, I felt my sin, and I knew I deserved hell, and it let me see how great the majesty of what Jesus did on the cross was. Because if my sin was that bad, then what Jesus did on the cross for me was much greater than I had ever thought. And he broke my heart, and he opened my eyes to see that, and he granted me repentance for the first time in my life. And with the weeks following, things that I had wanted to do that I'd been doing for years, the things that I had wanted to do the week before, I no longer wanted to do, because he gave me a new heart. And that new heart had new desires. And I repented, and the old things in my heart finally passed away. And then for the first time, I loved God. I started reading God's word with Matt, and I had a love for God and his word. So I'm here because my life has been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here and you're like I was, and you're living in darkness or a slave to your sin. Please, please, can I just encourage you that the wrath of God is real, and hell is very real, but the offer of salvation is just as real, and it goes out to everybody. And so please, please repent and turn from your sin and believe in what Jesus did on the cross on your behalf, if you're here and you haven't done that. Because I was and I still am a great sinner, but I have a great Savior, and praise the Lord.